Welcome to Another Day Above Ground, a show for, by, and about baby boomers. It's the podcast for people who have no idea how to download a podcast. And now, here's your host, Dale Irvin.
Thank you, Farad, and welcome, my fellow baby boomers. This is the podcast you've been waiting for because it's all about you. And it's all about today, which is another day above ground. We're just celebrating the fact that we're all here. When I say we, I mean myself and my allies, first from Indiana, the Aristotle of comedy, Mr. Tim Slagle.
Hey, it's the day after St. Patrick's Day. Yesterday, the Irish celebrated the wearing of the green, and today, Uber drivers celebrate the shampooing of the green.
And our other boomer comes to us from Denver, Colorado. It is the lovely Carolyn Strauss.
And I got the loveliest gift for St. Patrick's Day. Somebody actually gave me a money tree, and I'm waiting to see what happened.
A money tree.
A money tree. Yeah, it's a little box with a little planter box, and it had money tree seeds and some soil, and it said plant these, and we'll see what happens. So it's another plant above ground, and we'll see how that goes.
Wow. You know, they've taken the word gullible out of the dictionary. You know that.
Well, my picture was next to it, and I get final approval in all pictures. So, hey.
Anyhow,
I think gullible, I think the actual definition of gullible is French fries on a beach.
I just really caught that. It took me as I think, oh, that's funny, but then why is it funny? Oh, gullible. Okay, now I got it. Anyhow, as you can tell, my friends, this show is completely unrehearsed, uncut, and unedited. We're just chatting around and hoping that we hit on a nerve. And I'll tell you the nerve we're aiming for today. Once again, it's those kids we like to call the millennials. And this is a segment we like to call Get Off My Lawn, because they just seem to be bothering us. But lately, millennials are the most stressful people out there. And they're saying all kinds of things are causing them stress, you know? Like, if your cell phone needs recharging, that causes you stress.
Yeah, this is actually an article. They actually did surveys, and I think it's 3 out of 5 millennials thinks that their generation has more stress than any previous generation. I mean, you know, living through a depression, fighting World War II, the chance you might get drafted if you flunk out of college. No, there's no stress in any of those generations.
No. But for the millennials, number 6 on their list is slow Wi-Fi. Oh, please.
Oh, they find slow Wi-Fi more upsetting than being caught in traffic.
Kids these days, in my day, we had to plug a wire into the phone in order to get online and then wait 3 days for that picture of a naked woman to download in black and white. And it was in black and white.
And we liked it.
This one totally gets to me. Getting into an argument with a partner in general is one of the greatest sources of stresses for all generations. For millennials, 1 in 5 agreed that getting 0 likes on a social media post is more stressful than having an argument with your partner. What?
Well, yeah.
I put a picture of my lunch and nobody liked it. I am so hurt.
Exactly. Exactly. And then that's when your partner says, oh, get over it. And that's where the argument starts, you know, because nobody's paying attention to lunch.
Yeah. And you can tell we're not millennials because we have no sweat over the lack of likes another day above ground on Facebook has been getting.
But more would be nice. You know, if we had a lot more likes, that would certainly make our lives a little bit easier and remove a lot of our tension. So if you're a millennial listening to this, you know, tell all your millennial friends to like us. And if you're a baby boomer listening to this, thank God, I'm just happy you found your way to a podcast. But
no, but listen to some of these scenarios that millennials find really stressful, okay? Arriving late to work. Well, get there on time, darn it. Forgetting their passwords. I mean, yeah, you know, I don't understand why password 123 is hard to remember. And
here's the way to reduce that stress, millennials. Hit the button on your clock that says alarm set, and then tap the minus minute 15 times.
By the way, they find choosing what to wear one of the top 20 most stressful scenarios for millennials. I mean, that's because when you're posting your selfies, if you wore the same thing last week, nobody's going to like it.
See, that's the best.
That actually surprises me. I didn't realize that pair of pajamas was chosen. I kind of thought they just pulled them all out of the laundry hamper, and whichever one the crotch smelled the freshest was the one for the day.
and that's something that baby boomers don't have to worry about, you know, choosing what to wear. It's sweatpants and a T-shirt today, you know. Ain't going nowhere.
Anything that shows the tattoos.
Oh, no, I'm going to the hardware store. I need to wear the big khakis and the golf shirt with the mustard stain on the front.
But listen to this. Forgetting your phone charger card is 10 steps higher on the stress level than your school loan payments.
They don't care about the school loan payments,
nope.
You know. No,
no, Bernie's going to get rid of those.
Oh, exactly. Exactly.
As soon as that scar on the side of it, that shower door scar on the side of his head heals.
Do not diss Bernie. Do not.
Oh, please. It's really, really low-hanging fruit. And somebody's got to reap it.
He's at the very top of the boomers, right? He's one of us.
No, I don't think so. No, I think he's the greatest generation. I think he's much older.
Yeah, okay.
He's 75. Okay. I think 75 or 78. I forget, but he's in the upper 70s.
Yeah, so he's not one of us. So we're those damn kids to him.
I don't know. He's the grumpy old man. Ah, come here, I'll give you liquor. You know, he's that guy. Anyhow, stress is a big thing. And a lot of times we feel, well, how do you deal with stress? What do you do? And I think for a lot of baby boomers, we used to turn to music to deal with stress. And that brings up the thought of, you know, maybe millennials can't turn to music anymore because their music sucks. And so, you know, I'd like to try to figure out what happened to the music. So what we have done, we have secured a music professional to be our special guest on this week's Another Day Above Ground. And Farad, if you don't mind dialing up our music professional, I will tell you a little bit about him. His name is Roy Philippe. He lives in Los Angeles. Roy has worked with the likes of Henry Mancini and Nelson Riddle. And you may say, who, Nelson Riddle? What did he ever write? Da 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 Batman. He wrote that. And so anyhow, he's composed a lot of music. He is the composer of the Friday Funnies theme that you can catch out on DaleIrvin.com. And he's going to give us just his idea of what the heck happened to music. Roy, thank you so much for joining us. I was just telling the people about you that you've done a lot of work with Henry Mancini and Nelson Riddle, who wrote the Batman theme, correct?
That was Neil Hefti.
Neil Hefti. Okay, but he knew him, too. He wrote the Batman theme. So
I knew Neil Hefti, yes.
Yeah, different Riddler, Dale.
I'm sorry. One of the things I neglected to tell
Nelson
you.
Riddle, Nelson Riddle wrote the episode music.
Ah, okay.
He scored the episodes, but Neil wrote the theme.
There you go. All right. Well, now I have it straight. One thing I did not mention on your introduction is that Roy and I have been friends since the seventh grade, which
That's
makes
correct.
It about 50-something odd years that we have been friends. So he has agreed to do this with us for session cost, and I really appreciate that.
Your friendship is almost a boomer.
Yeah, really.
Yeah.
His birthday is 1 month after mine, and every year he will bug me for those 30 days about how much I'm older than him.
It's my job.
Well, we were talking about music and the fact that the millennials, the kids nowadays, they're getting stressed out over everything from slow Wi-Fi to their cell phone breaking or whatever. And I said, we used to turn to music, but I don't know if you can do that anymore because today's music is not what you would call soothing. And I was just wondering what you thought went wrong with music from where it was to where it is.
Well, I think it started with whatever people buy, they just keep making more of. There's always been a radio back when we were young. Stations used to play a variety of songs. There were singers. I mean, in the 60s, you had Frank Sinatra singing Strangers in the Night right next to the Beatles with I Want to Hold Your Hand or something. You know?
Right,
or Dean
right,
Martin
right.
with Everybody Loves Somebody. Radio was much more diverse. Now it's like tunnel vision. You get a channel, and that's all you hear is that particular kind of music.
Wow.
So it's limited in scope as to what you hear when you pop the radio on.
And people really aren't even listening to the radio that much anymore. You know, very, very few of the millennials, I think, are listening to terrestrial radio, rather picking up things that they can stream or download or stuff like that.
Exactly. You can find almost anything on YouTube just by sitting in front of your computer. And then there's these other sites, Pandora and Napster. And then I found out something today. There's a site called Last.fm, and they have something called Audio Scrobbler. And what that does, it somehow tracks what people are listening to and makes suggestions to them about similar, sounds.
Huh.
So it's gotten very mechanical, or I don't know how to say this. People are watching you. You know, Big Brother's listening to what you're listening to.
Exactly. Yeah, exactly. And we were toying with the idea of the way band names have changed from when we were young to what they are now. Because I was looking at the South by Southwest Festival just finished, and I was looking at some of the bands that were there. The Black Midi was there. Black Pumas was there.
Uh-huh.
Once again, to Spike Lee's disappointment, Black Klansman was not. But... Jealous of the Birds, that's another one, and Mojo Juju. And, what happened? You know, we used to have at least bands with reasonable names, you know.
We had animal names. We had the monkeys and the eagles. And...
Well, there was a group called Crazy Elephant also.
Yeah.
It had a hit song with Gimme Gimme Good Lovin'. That was a popular song in the 60s.
I remember that song.
Yeah, and who was the other one we were talking about there? Bubble Puppy.
Oh, yeah, Bubble Puppy. Now, this is an interesting background to this. They had a hit song called Hot Smoke and Sassafras. And Bubble Puppy comes from a child's game in Aldous Huxley's Brave New World book. So figure that out.
Wow. Wow.
They read a book.
I was actually making fun of my nieces and nephews a few years back. Because it seems like for a while there, all the bands they were listening to all had the in the middle. It's a Foster the People, Cage the Elephant, Tyler the Creator, Chance the Rapper, Run the Jewels, and to me it was really funny. I'm starting to make up names like Smash the Grapefruit and stuff like that.
Yeah. And, Toad the Wet Socket.
You kids are so weird. I was playing a song. One of my nephews says, "Who is this?" I go, "Oh, this is Mott the Hoople." Whoops.
My favorite band was Answer the Phone.
Hey, there you go.
Well, actually, my favorite new wave name, because the whole new wave band name thing was the Someone and the Someones. Like one of the bands that was before the new year, before the new wave, was like a question mark and the Mysterians.
Yeah.
But
Hootie and the Blowfish.
Yeah. My favorite one was Phil and the Blanks.
Well, you know, another thing that used to exist on the radio back in the 60s were instrumental songs.
Yeah, there aren't any.
Well, not, there aren't any now, but I found a little tidbit here. If anybody remembers this, was Alley Cat from the 1962, and it was a little piano piece.
Mm-hmm.
And the most interesting thing I found about this, it won a Grammy in 1962 for the best rock and roll record.
Wow.
So things have changed pretty drastically.
If you thought Jethro Tull getting the heavy metal album of the year was ridiculous.
So, you know, things have changed. There's no instrumental music really anymore. I don't think anybody plays instruments. I don't think they do. Everybody
exactly.
had a piano in their home when we were growing up.
Yeah.
You can't auto-tune
and now everybody
an
has
instrument.
Garage Band, you know?
Yeah. And computers.
Well, that's
computers have changed about. A lot of it. A lot of people just do things in their home studios.
And so what's the future of music? You know, it used to, I mean, now it's to the point where you got to know three chords and then you're pretty much in.
You're in. That's all you really need to know. If you play the guitar, the key of E is the easiest key to play in. You have a lot of open strings.
Really?
Well, that was, you know, that's that was what the whole punk rock movement was. I mean, the Ramones made like 21 albums off of three chords.
Yeah.
It's I mean,
so
this
did
is,
the Beatles, though.
Well, Bruce Springsteen.
So Jimmy
well,
Buffett.
Every Bruce Springsteen
most
song
albums.
Is in E, you know.
Yeah.
So how are
well,
musicians?
Well, the Beatles songs, you know, they actually are pretty sophisticated compared to what we're hearing now. I mean, they had some nice chord changes, and the records had strings in the background sometimes, you know, and different instrumentation. There was the sitar on some of those 60s records, and but the variety of instruments is dwindled down to a precious few these days.
So, Roy, you must be mentoring some young musicians because you're such a brilliant musician yourself. What are you telling them about how they can make a living or get heard? Like, how can we hear new people's music? What are you telling them?
Well, I sometimes have young people approach me about teaching them. And the first word the first words I say to them are, can you read music? And the reaction I get almost every time is, oh, I don't want to read music. And I say, why? And the answer I get almost every time again is, it'll stifle my creativity. So I just say to them, I'm not the guy for you.
That's why I haven't learned a lot of words. You know, I'm afraid it's going to...
So, yeah, it just baffles me that if you want to be a musician, you don't even want to know the basics. You don't want anything about melody or harmony or chord progressions or what the bones of music is.
And if you do want to be a musician, what's your future? I mean, you know, there's very few musicians in Vegas anymore, if any. There's, you know, fewer and fewer, orchestras and such. What's your future?
Well, what you need now is to have a show. I mean, you all these acts, there's somebody standing up there singing and maybe holding a guitar with a dozen dancers and fireworks and all this thing. It's not just music anymore. It's a spectacle.
But, I mean, so that's what you're saying to the young musicians out there?
Yeah, I would say, you know, find some dancers and load up on fireworks. You know?
Buy some dancers.
I mean, that's what it looks like to me. If I knew it was going to happen tomorrow, I'd be on it, believe me.
Oh, and a little hint, if you want to buy the dancers, it's that $1 pay-as-you-go plan is that's a scam. You don't actually get...
Yeah.
It's not lease with option to buy.
Yeah. There you go.
Unless at Christmas time you get the 12 dancers dancing or whatever it was.
Well, you know, there are some of these websites where you can get your music played. There's a place called MySpace. They release music by unsigned artists with the label.
Well, that's kind of the music we play at the beginning of this podcast is something that is free and we found online and there's no residuals. And that's got to really screw up the whole market for people like you who do arranging and composing.
Yeah, there's really not much arranging going on anymore these days.
You need to do some jingles, maybe, you know, some snappy jingles.
Yeah. Okay.
I don't know what for, but I'm just saying.
Yeah. Yeah, well, I'll put that on my to-do list.
Yeah. You guys got legal marijuana now in California. You could just write a tune called Dude. And, you know, it might sell. So a shop might pick it up, you know.
Well, there's a dispensary right across the street. I could just set up a keyboard out there and audition my tunes.
There you go. Sell CDs.
And sell Girl Scout cookies.
Oh. Well, you guys, you got any musical things that have been, you've always wanted to know about? And Roy's also got perfect pitch. If you'd like to sing a note, he'll tell you what it is.
Actually, I do not have perfect pitch, but I'm close.
You don't know that. Well,
For some reason or other, I still study music, and I listen to classical music and read the scores along with it, just to see how different composers created the sounds that they did.
And Roy wrote a book based on the Thornbirds movie.
It's not my book, actually. It's Henry Mancini's book. I finished it after he passed away.
Aww.
Oh, wow.
So it's on Amazon for anybody that wants to find it. It's called Case History of a Film Score, The Thornbirds. It's based on his score from the TV miniseries.
Oh, that's fascinating.
Yeah.
And it's musical examples, and it comes with a CD, so the reader... if you're a musician, can look at the music and hear the CD, and it's from the television soundtrack with Mancini conducting. It's the real deal.
So I think the next step for that is we do the audio book and put the music into the audio book, and then people can download it, because I got bad news, Roy. Not that many people have CD players anymore. It makes me so sad. I've got 100 CDs, meditation CDs, that I recorded 10 years ago in my closet because nobody wants them because nobody has a CD player. This is so sad.
You got to be kidding.
They're still manufacturing CDs. I mean, I go to a number of sites, film music sites, and all that stuff is on CD. And you can still find CDs on Amazon and various places. But, I mean, they're still making them, so somebody must have some players left.
I use my CDs. I hang them on the wall outside my house to keep away woodpeckers.
They make good drink coasters, too.
Because woodpeckers hate that kind of music.
But if you hold the woodpecker to the CD and you spin it around, you can actually hear it.
Well, it's got to go pretty fast.
Well, Roy, we thank you very much for joining us here and giving us a little. If kids want to learn more about, real music, where would you suggest they start?
Well, if there's a school music program, which that's another thing that's sort of fading away, to get into a music program, there's a lot of schools will teach a kid how to play an instrument to join the band or orchestra, a marching band. There are still marching bands mostly in the Midwest, but a lot of schools still have them. Just watch the Rose Parade. And you'll see a bunch of them right there from all over the world. So there are outlets through the educational system, and there are private lessons. But, again, you have to find a student that's going to be interested in doing this and not be afraid of reading music.
Right. Roy and I used to be in a band together back in the 60s. It was called the LSD 5 Plus 2. And it was
minus one.
Minus one, yeah. And it was the stupidest name. None of us at the time really knew what LSD was. It was just in the news.
Lakeshore Drive.
Lazy, slow, and stupid.
Except we grew up in Cleveland, so yeah.
Yeah, really.
Lazy, slow, and dumb.
Yeah. Well, thanks for having me on your program today.
Do you want to give out your email address if anybody would like to contact you and get their book autographed?
Sure. It's musicbyroy@AOL.com.
Musicbyroy@AOL.com. Roy and I, think, are the only two people still using AOL.com.
AOL.
It's done good by us.
Well, they do okay, but don't ever call customer support.
Yes, they went home.
Okay, well, thanks a lot, guys.
Thank you very much, Roy. Appreciate it, buddy. Talk to you soon.
Okay, bye-bye.
And there you have it. You know, music has always been, it started with swing music and then rock and roll and then morphed into whatever we have today. And just, the thing I find is funniest about the names, I'll tell you one name story before we go. And several years ago, well, back when he was alive, I was on the Jerry Lewis telethon in Las Vegas. And there was a bunch of us who were waiting to go on, and he's, you know, announcing the people are coming on, and he gets on there, and it's, yeah, there's probably about eight of us in the green room, and he's saying, now our next band, Lineyard Skynyard, let's hear it for the funniest thing. Everybody in the dressing room was just falling over. What did he say? And he went and took a nap right after that. I got introduced by Norm Crosby. Anyhow, my friends, I hope we've entertained you again for another week here at Another Day Above Ground. I encourage you to tell all of your friends, your neighbors, your relatives about this podcast. If you don't mind, when you go on YouTube, please, or iTunes, rather, please leave us a go on YouTube. All of you go on YouTube there.
Yeah, but no, it's my tune.
It's no Y in YouTube.
Space tunes. Just turn on the radio. You'll find us there somewhere.
Whatever tunes you go to. Yeah. At a telegraph near you. We're iTunes. You can find us on there, or you can find us on Podbean. That's pod as in pod and bean as in lima. And you can find us on there. Leave us a like. Tell your friends. We'd like to really boost this puppy up, because whether you know it or not, there's only 72 million baby boomers left, and that number is going down every day. So, let's celebrate another day above ground. See you next week. And, oh, you guys, anything, farewell things to say? No, they can't see you shaking your head, Carolyn. This is all audio that where you and I may be able to see each other, but the rest is
like,
all audio.
If you like this podcast, I also have another podcast, Rule of Three, with Tim Slagle and Ben Washburn.
There you go. Thanks so much. See you next week.
And that's it for another day above ground. For Dale, Tim, and Carolyn, I'm Farad Muhammad. Thanks for listening.